morning, Middletown Baptist Church. Have you ever moved out of town? Well, you might have done this once or twice. Have you ever, felt like that first Sunday, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And you start to look for that perfect church. The one that believes exactly what you believe the Bible means, with a pastor that is charismatic and knows the word and preaches it, and a people that are holy and fill the church, and the music is just exactly what you want. We all look for that, right? A couple of years ago, I went back to upstate New York and was taking care of my mother-in-law, and I wasn't preaching or teaching, and I started looking for that church, and I'm like, man, there are no churches that are exactly what I want, right? But I found a church that preached God's word, and man, it didn't quite agree with everything that I believed, but the people followed Jesus with an earnest heart, and that became my church family for the next 2 years, and they're still my church family. They weren't perfect before I got there, amen? And even if they had been perfect when I got there, by the time I joined that church, it would no longer be perfect, right? Because I would be there. God's truth is that there are no perfect churches yet. But our text promises that that's going to change in the future. Revelations 21:10. He then carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Like life anywhere, life in paradise, it's going to start with finding that right church. And God is going to bring it down out of heaven to earth for us. Paradise actually has that perfect church that we have been dreaming of, that we have been longing for, but not in the way maybe that we're looking for it. Verse 22 reads, I did not see a temple in it, because the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. John looks into his amazement. He sees no temple in the city. To a Jew, this is incomprehensible. The temple was the center of life for the Jewish people. It was a hub of both the city and the nation. And it would have been shocking to any Gentiles or pagans that heard this as well. They didn't worship the one true God, but the religious temples were the center of city life, of national thought and unity. And in the earlier chapters of Revelation, John spoke of a temple being in heaven. But when God recreated the heavens and the earth, the new creation, there is no need for a temple any longer. That was the old heavens, the place where we go to meet Jesus if we die now before Jesus returns. The new heaven, true paradise, eternal paradise, will not have a temple in Jerusalem. There's no need for a temple. The tabernacle in Exodus, remember all those specific dimensions and the specifics that were on the materials that were being used to create it? They were important because they pointed to heaven. They were where God could be found on earth. The stone temple, the brick and mortar temple in Jerusalem was the same way. It was a symbol of where God could be found. There were places where you went to envision God, to be close to God, to hear God's word. In the new city of Jerusalem, you don't need to go anywhere to encounter God, because God is with you everywhere. God the Father and God the Son are impossible to miss. And by the way, even though Revelation doesn't talk about God the Holy Spirit, the words point to his presence in the water of life and the tree of life. They are the temple. So symbol gives way to reality. The temple represents God's presence, but believers in paradise will experience directly God's presence. And we will have it forever, and we will be with him forever. And just as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in perfect accord with one another, the believers in New Jerusalem are in perfect accord with God and each other and themselves. God's peace permeates the church. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates it, and its lamp is in the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never close by day, because it will never be night there. They will bring glory and honor to the nations into it. Just as there's no need for a temple, there's no need for a church. The physical building isn't the church anyway, amen? The church is the people, the followers, the believers. And in the new paradise of the New Jerusalem, paradise perfected, we're finally going to enjoy that peace with God and the peace from God. Remember Philippians 4:7? Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We all long for that peace that surpasses understanding, and we might occasionally grasp onto it, but it eludes us permanently. In the eternal city, we will not only live in God's presence, we'll also live without anything that will threaten or hinder our ability to experience that peace of God that surpasses human understanding. Locked doors are a thing of the past. Truthfully, it annoys me when I have to lock the doors to the church. The church should be open 24/7. Sinful reality means that if I don't lock that door at night when we leave, we don't know what we're going to find when we return. But in heaven, no need to lock doors. There will be no sin. There's no temple, no sun or moon, no closed gates, no night. And God's glory is present everywhere we look. There is nothing shameful, impure, or deceitful in heaven. Now, our experience of God's presence today is awesome. It's incredible. I'm so thankful for my relationship with Jesus and what he's done in my life. But remember Corinthians talking about that mirror, and we're looking into it as if we're seeing a fuzzy image in a mirror? Can you imagine what new paradise is going to be? Paradise perfected, the new heaven and earth, new city of Jerusalem. It will be completely perfect without the limitations of a fallen world, without enemies, without sin. Remember that on those days like I'm experiencing the past couple of days. Remember that as we go through troubles. Know that the ending is so much better than the beginning. We have a lot to look forward to, and it's important that we hold on to that truth. And not only will the city and the area around us be perfect, but the entire congregation of this perfect church perfectly reflects God's glory and holiness. Can you imagine that? I can imagine all of you being perfectly holy. I struggle with seeing myself that way. I know what goes on in my head. But Revelation 21:27 reads, "Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life." This is a warning from God that John is giving us, and we need to remember this. How we walk our walk, what we think, what we say, how we live our life, it matters. Our walk better match our talk. And even more importantly, our thoughts and our heart better match Jesus. The whole city will be God's temple. No more division between the sacred and the secular. It will all be sacred. And the citizens will be perfectly in accord with God and each other. Immortality, immorality, and deception are specifically named as sins that will prevent you from entering this paradise. And if you remember the text last week, John gave a list of the things that will keep you out of heaven. And it's not just Revelations that says this. The entire Bible talks about this. Do you remember Galatians 5:19-21? "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, adultery, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar." Paul says, "I am warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's exactly what John is repeating here. It is not popular to go to church these days and be told that holiness matters, that the way that you live your life matters, that it affects your outcome. And I don't actually understand how the two link together, right? There's this piece that you're forgiven for your sin, and we're going to struggle. Our flesh is going to try to make us remain in our sin while the Holy Spirit tries to lead us out of it. And it's all the work of the Spirit. But we don't get a free pass. And if we really love Jesus, we have to long after holiness. We have to work after holiness. We have to make every effort to be holy. It's a struggle. Overcoming and being part of the new heaven requires our running that race and living that struggle, and with the power of Jesus, winning. It involves being holy. Last week, I said pretty much the same thing, and I'm going to repeat it again because it just is that important. In our Christian life, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. There are these two key messages in the Bible, and especially in Revelation, and one is the assurance of God's love and our salvation in Jesus, and the other is this warning. And they serve to keep us walking the right way. They assure that we keep our eyes on Jesus. We've got to take both of these seriously without being understand exactly how they're going to work out. And it should spur us on to not be complacent and just say, "Well, God forgave me my sin. Yeah, he did." But make every effort to live a holy life. paradise is a Garden of Eden perfected. Didn't know that you could really perfect paradise, right? But it is. It's paradise perfected. And humanity was created to live in the Garden of Eden. So we messed it up. I say we once again, because if I had been there, I would have messed it up. And if you had been there, so would you. Jesus provided us the path to redemption. And in Revelation, God promises those who have received and believed in Jesus will live in this perfect, perfected Garden of Eden. I'd like to say this in the Terminator voice, but I don't know if I'll try today. Hasta la vista, sin. You're terminated. And we will be back in the garden. It's the end of hunger and thirst. Revelations 22, 1-2. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life was on each side of the river, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of nations. Do you see the imagery here? Do you get that vibe of the original Garden of Eden in Genesis? John intended that. God inspired that. The one tree of life seals that picture. Now there are two. It's perfected. But John cares much more about the theological significance of what is told in Revelations than he's worried about any geographical reality. The point is that God's people are totally surrounded, totally engulfed, totally overwhelmed by God and his presence. And it resonates in harmony with what we're going to experience with the people around us. And Jesus promised the victors food from the tree of life and the paradise of God. And that paradise is fulfilled, revealed in our passage today. In Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel talked about the trees that were seasonal, and the tree of life in Eden was off limits after the fall, right? We got kicked out of paradise. But these trees of life, they never stop producing fruit every month. Gotta think like a Jew on this one. We have food and water in abundance for the most part. Now, I remember a couple of times during COVID where I thought the supermarkets were a little bit bare. But what we're hearing here is bountiful water that fulfills our needs, and endless fruit that will supply the food for our hunger. This is paradise. God's people will never hunger or thirst again, and all disease will be ended. Don't think that because these leaves are going to end disease, that there's disease to be ended in heaven. It's not there. Remember, this is an image that we're talking about. John's point is that only healing exists. Only purity and holiness exists in the new city. The healing in view of those leaves, it relates to the absence of the curse. It's specified in the next verse. And there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. Sin disrupts our bodies on earth. All disease comes from sin. Not always our personal sin, but just a sin that runs rampant throughout the world around us. There will be no disease, no pain, no death in the New Jerusalem. The curse fully defeated in the new heaven. Do you remember the Jewish word shalom? It means perfect peace. Not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of completeness, fulfillment. And while sin holds us in bondage, we can only get glimpses of such a perfect peace. But with the curse dispelled, with sin defeated, we'll be free. No curse, no sin, no pain, just endless peace. And in that peace, we will perfectly know God. Revelation 22:4, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. God's people bear his name on earth, amen? We call ourselves Christians. In heaven, we are going to undeniably bear his name, meaning that we belong to him and that we live safely in his presence. Today, we belong to him and our futures are secure because of our relationship with Jesus. And on earth today, aren't we called to show our love to each other so the people around us know that we belong to him? Remember the words of John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In New Jerusalem, that peace and love abounds, and we will reign with our God. Verse 5, night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Just as Adam and Eve were entrusted with the world in the Garden of Eden, amen? God will entrust the people of New Jerusalem. We will have work to do up there. We will reign with him, not as God, but with him. I've heard people worried that heaven will be boring because all we're going to be doing is sitting around singing. There'll be an endless church service where, I don't know, something maybe out of Numbers where, you know, you just get all these passages of who begot who and all these rules that you have to follow. That's not what heaven's going to be like. We don't know exactly what heaven is going to look like or what we're going to do in heaven. But we do know it's going to bring glory to God and it's going to be productive. There's going to be a purpose. And it's going to be perfect. And best of all, we won't be able to screw it up. Can I say that from the pulpit? So, it's a beautiful passage, a beautiful promise. I pray that everybody hearing my voice today knows Jesus and has a relationship with him and is going to join up with us in heaven. So what do we do about it in the meantime? How do we apply it to our lives today? Well, God wants us to seek paradise today, right where we are, right on earth. There are three major ways I think that we can do this. The first is we need to live in relationship. We live in a time like no other, amen? I mean, technology is incredible. We can travel by jet around the world if we really want to. If we don't want to go there in person, we can talk to people by phones, and now we can even talk by video phone, right? Zoom, Skype, FaceTime. COVID, it exacerbated this, right? I mean, now people pretty much live in home. We have our groceries delivered to our door. We don't go to the movies anymore. We stream something on our television. many of us work from home, telecommuting. Some of us go to church from home on the living room couch. And it's awesome that we can do that when we need to. But it's not the same. It just is not the same as living in relationship. Think about those Zoom calls where the voice gets crackled up, or you know, the connection gets garbled, you miss something, you feel bad for somebody, but you can't give them a hand on the back or a hug if you're a hugger. There's no touching. When we talk to our grandchildren by Zoom, we're not hugging them. COVID has proven to me how important it is for us to gather in person and to live life together. God made us to be in relationship with Him, with each other. And we need real fellowship to thrive. Now, each of us has different limits on this. I'm an introvert. I struggle. But man, after COVID, I was ready to see everybody. You know, hey, come on down. You don't get that by Facebook. One day, we will see Jesus face to face. Hopefully, as His followers. And we'll stand back and we'll bask in that glow, in that presence of the Father. And all the barriers to our relationships will be broken down, permanently busted. That's good news. But we can't wait for that to happen. We need to work on it on earth today. And we need to live together, worshiping together, praying together, loving each other together. As we bring paradise on earth before we enter it completely in heaven. And in order for us to do that, we need to live life holy, right? So we've got to be holy. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, you're forgiven your sin, amen? You're freed from the consequences of sin, which is hell. But we're not released from that struggle with sin. Amen? There are things we want to do that our flesh fights us. There are things that we hate to do that our flesh tempts us. Our end is sure. Jesus died on the cross for us, and the war is finished. The ending is written. We're reading literally the ending right now. But those battles still remain to be fought. The good news is, as we fight those battles, we're no longer slaves to sin. We're children of God, empowered to defeat the sin in our lives. We put sin to death, not so that we go to heaven. We're headed there anyway. We do it because we want to live the way God asked us to live. So live holy today, just like you expect you're going to be living in paradise in New Jerusalem. Let your holiness shine. Don't fall for that lie that's really a half-truth. God loves you just the way that you are. He does. He loves each and every person, whether we're with Him or not. But those that He loves, He rebukes. And He loves us as He found us, but He loves us way too much to let us wallow in sinful muck, squalor. Holiness might not be fashionable to talk about or to long after today, but the Bible The book of Revelation repeatedly tells us to live holy, turn away from sin, and to encourage others to do the same. Overcoming requires living a holy life, making every effort. Once again, this message should encourage us, give us security, and it should warn us from being complacent. And that message is not meant just for us. Amen. That message is meant to be shared with the entire world. And you and I might not reach the entire world, but Lord, we can reach the community around us. Amen. Share the good news. God is on a mission to redeem people from every tribe, every language, every nation, every people. And when we come to Jesus, we're given that same mission and ministry. Amen? Whether you take a look at John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." Keep your minds on heaven. Keep your heart and your eyes looking at people, feeling about people the way that Jesus feels about people. I don't want Jesus coming back slow. I don't want him coming back before the people that I love know him. Now, some people will take today's scripture and they'll say that everybody's safe. Everybody's going to heaven. In the end, God forgives and we're all reconciled. That's ridiculous. These passages that talk about nothing unclean coming in. In the book of Revelation, there's this clear division. A couple of chapters earlier, evil isn't present in heaven, not because everybody is forgiven, but because those that are evil, that have not surrendered their fight against God and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're dealt with. They're in hell. Every nation, every people will be represented in heaven, but not every person. God wants this diversity in heaven. He created all of us. Sadly, sometimes a church can become very homogenous. You know what that word is? You know, everything's like you put it in a blender, they're all the same. Church should really be multicultural. Ideally, the church should represent the demographics of the place that they're in. If there are many different nationalities and heritage, they should all be present. It's sad when people don't feel they're welcome inside a church because they're not exactly the same. It's even more sad when a church is so self-centered or lazy to share the word with the community around them. In New Jerusalem, God lives among his redeemed from all nations. And God's people will experience that perfection of his presence. They're going to worship him. We're going to worship him. We're going to reign with him forever. In the meantime, we need to live in fellowship with each other and with God. We got to be pursuing the holiness that shows the world around us who we belong to. And we've got to share that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the community around us. Heavenly Father, Thank you for your word, your love. Thank you for this promise. Paradise perfected. Lord, I long for it. I long to see everybody up there with me. I long for my family members that don't seem to know Jesus, my friends who don't seem to know Jesus, my neighbors who don't seem to know Jesus, to find them. And Lord, I pray that you use me to reach them. That you take my sin, defeat it in me so that I can reflect your glory. Lord, and that's my prayer for all of us. Lord, may the people of this church reflect your glory. May they live holy. May they live in fellowship with each other. And may we share your word with the people around us. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus.